get on. Sail on, little girl, sail on. Sail on. Sail on, little girl, sail on. Well, you know you're gonna keep on a sailing till you lose your happy home.
Well, here we are sailing into Wednesday, April 25th, 2012. Hit figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com with good old Latin and Hopkins right there. First day she sailed away. What do you think of that, Vinny?
I thought you were going to say good old Vinny V.
Oh, seriously now, come on. Vinny's here, everybody.
I am here.
Here on the only show of the week where we're guaranteed to not talk about Alistair Overeem.
Until now.
Seriously, though, Vinny, can you believe this bullshit?
I have not been paying much attention.
Gotta be kidding me.
I'm aware that he's not licensed and that he may be licensed again someday.
Are you aware that this fool was told to supply a urine test and he supplied a blood test?
Maybe he's having kidney problems.
And when he
Maybe that's what came out of his dick.
He provided the blood test, and it said that his testosterone levels were normal. So then,
so
later...
So what's the problem?
So later, when he failed his testosterone, his drug test, and his TE ratio was 16 to 1. 14 to 1, I'm sorry. I don't want to defame the fella. 14 to 1. They tried to claim he needed testosterone replacement therapy. Apparently what? Forgetting that 4 months earlier, they claimed his testosterone was normal based on his blood test. Oops! And were you aware that when he was alerted that following the press conference for UFC in May, the press conference they had in early March, when he was informed that after the press conference, everybody at the press conference was going to have to take a surprise drug test, the moment the press conference ended, he fled! He jumped in a car and fled!
I think I actually did hear that part.
Yeah. Does this happen in real sports?
No.
Such a mockery has been made of mixed martial arts this last couple of months. And then he went before the commission and they went, "We find you to be a fine, upstanding individual, a true champion." It's amazing today.
Are you suggesting there may be corruption in the Nevada government?
Not corruption, naivety.
Ah. Incompetence.
I don't know what you'd call it, but I was just appalled. I couldn't go a full week without having any shows, without having a single show that didn't talk about Alistair Overeem. People that don't like MMA should at least follow this story, because this is better than any angle in pro wrestling. If you followed this from day one, it legitimately is better than any angle in pro wrestling in like the past 2 years. It is so ridiculously preposterous. If you follow the story from start to finish and you try to explain it to a common man, they'd be like, "I don't like pro wrestling. Stop telling me all this bullshit." You go, "No, it's real!" He jumped in a getaway car after a press conference. And the commissioner had to run after him going, "Get his ass back here!" When's the last time you saw that on Raw? It's amazing.
Been sometime.
It's amazing. And he's like, you know, 265 pounds of solid muscle. That's also a problem.
Well,
in his case.
It's
40
not so
pounds
much,
of which you put on it, the last
yeah,
2 years.
Yeah, it's not so much that he is 265. It's that he very recently was 205.
Sure.
That's the eyebrow raise that comes in.
Not to mention he's got 10 different excuses for why he failed. First it was...
None of which are any good.
The testosterone replacement, which that didn't fly. Then he claimed that this 265-pound man, who as noted in his blood test, had normal testosterone, claimed he had erectile dysfunction.
What?
And he took some sort of Viagra-like substance that managed to boost his testosterone to 14 to 1. That was the second excuse. Obviously, they figured out that one wasn't going to fly. So then the last one was his doctor. Not his doctor, actually. It's even better. A friend of his, who, of course, he had to throw under the bus, Trey Teligman, he named him by name, said, "I got a doctor that'll help you out, buddy. He's in, not Holland, he's in Texas." And Overeem went in there and, without asking what was in it, got a shot. A supposed mixture of anti-inflammatories and testosterone. Because his rib hurt. I'm not making any of this up, everybody. People thought the whole baseball thing was bullshit. This is 10 times worse. The whole world needs to know about this stuff, Vince. We got to clean this sport up. It's just beyond hope. So anyway, now that we got that out of the way, now we get to talk about Raw, which I guarantee is not as exciting as
that is true.
The Alistair Overeem situation.
I watched Monday Night Raw first thing Tuesday morning, which means it actually lasted long into Tuesday afternoon. This show went forever. It was a 3-hour Raw. 3-hour Raws suck. The guys on the crew know they suck. And the best thing that happened on the show was not even on the TV show. The John Cena birthday party was better than almost everything on Raw.
Yeah. And we got some old classics to talk about. We watched Championship Wrestling.
That's what it was called.
Yep. No defining letters.
Not from Florida or not World Championship Wrestling, just Championship Wrestling. And ironically, the only champion we saw was in a non-title match.
No, we saw a few champions. We saw the world champion, Superstar Billy Graham.
Non-title match.
And we also saw one half of the tag team champions.
Oh, you're right. Who was that?
Billy White Wolf.
Billy White Wolf, yes. Which is also a non-title match.
Well, that's because there was only one man.
Well, this was before wrestling became bullshit.
You could not defend the tag team titles in a singles match.
I'm merely
then.
Saying this show did not live up to the title of Championship Wrestling.
I see. Well, these men were all championship level, just should've, like the commission said that Alistair Overeem was a champion.
Should have been called non-title wrestling.
Vinny, don't get it. These men were all champions in their own right. They were all champions of professional wrestling.
You know, the word champion does have many different meanings.
That's true. Who are you to doubt Vince McMahon?
You can be a champion of civil rights.
Yeah, or a champion of mat battling.
Or of wrestling.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with the title, Vinny. I don't have a problem with it. It'd be like having... I mean, there's nothing Raw about Raw. That's for sure.
Well, that is a bad name, too.
Yeah. Or SmackDown.
At least men are smacked down.
The Rock has been gone for 8 years, with the exception of WrestleMania. The show's still called SmackDown.
Yeah.
Why not call it Iron Claw? No one uses the claw today, do they? I guess...
Sadly, no.
Tensai kind of does.
Oh, yeah.
What's like an old school finisher that nobody does anymore?
Heart punch.
The figure four.
Friday Night Heart Punch.
Yeah, Friday Night Heart Punch. Named after Stan Stasiak's
yes.
finisher.
Yes.
That's what they should call it while they're at it.
Or Ox Baker.
Anyway. And we got some new songs. So it's going to be a fun time, everyone. Let's start with Raw.
All right. Raw opened with a fake contract signing. They announced the contract signing. Cena came out. Then Lesnar didn't show up. Laurinaitis said he was not there. Ran it on for a bit. Edge interrupted. And Edge cut a promo on Cena. Said that he added, by the way, that he would no longer be under contract in a few days. It was interesting. He said he wanted to talk to Cena, but not this Cena. He didn't know this guy. He wanted to talk to his greatest rival, the man who threw him off ladders and through tables and into Long Island Sound. He basically called Cena out for being a pussy, for letting one loss to The Rock get him down. Meanwhile, the one thing Cena and Edge had in common was that they both loved wrestling, whereas Brock Lesnar didn't give a shit about it. He was just there to beat people up and make money and then leave again, probably. He said, if you lose this match, it's a slap in the face to people like me, like Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, and I'm not asking you to beat Brock Lesnar, I'm telling you to. And he left, and Cena was sad.
Yeah, I figure this is just a way to alert the internet that Edge is under contract. He didn't get a big pop, I was told, like the biggest pop of the night. Although I was told that immediately after he came out, so that was sort of premature.
He was, in fact, the first guy. I didn't know that he did his whole entrance and then appeared to be quite blown up.
Why was Edge just randomly here was my question. Which, by the way, I never got a good answer for.
The story was he came to Detroit to give a message to Cena.
Really? He's got nothing better to do with his life now that he's retired?
Apparently not.
All right, well.
We had Chris Jericho versus Kofi Kingston. The only good thing about 3-hour Raws is that guys get time to have good matches.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an example of that. This would have fit right in on really any pay-per-view. They got plenty of time. And they had a good match, and Kofi went for a springboard, and he sprung boarded right into a code breaker, and Jericho put on the lion tamer, and Kofi tapped, and Jericho won. And then Jericho cut a promo, basically repeating all the stuff with Punk that he's been saying for a long time now.
I enjoyed this.
This is a very good match.
And
this
a great finish.
And a great finish.
Dave thought the match was missing something. I thought it was pretty good.
It was missing something in that it will not be match of the year. It was not missing anything in that it was better than most matches we get on most episodes of Raw. Had a wacky segment backstage with Laurinaitis and Eve, where he offered her a job and she accepted, and he went in for a hug and she put out her hand for a handshake, and they shook hands and had the longest, most awkward pause ever afterwards. Which
I was going to say since the last time people had to look at each other.
In this case, it was actually awesome because it was Laurinaitis getting shot down and having to be awkward. So it kind of fit. And then CM Punk in his locker room revealed that Jericho sent him a gift. It was a basket full of liquor. A liquor basket, Punk called it. And that term was thrown around throughout the show. I'm not familiar with this. Maybe this is common. I've heard of Easter baskets.
I've never got a liquor basket.
No one's ever gotten me a liquor basket before. So he kept one bottle, gave the rest to Josh, told him to beat it.
Maybe that's why Josh asked such a stupid question later to Brock Lesnar.
He was drunk?
Yeah. Dipping into the liquor basket.
Tensai beat Truth. The only difference between this and the other stuff is that now, instead of having the match get stopped and then he puts on the claw, now he put on the claw and actually won with it. So, there you go. Kane came to the ring.
This was lame.
This was stupid. He's talking about how he's a monster and disappointed in Orton, and he's the nightmare Orton won't wake up from. And Orton appeared on the screen and said Kane beat up his dad, so he's going to beat up Kane's dad. There's Paul Bearer tied up in a wheelchair. I could have sworn Edge killed him.
That's the joke, Vinny. Paul Bearer's been killed 15 times in his career.
He has greater powers than either Kane or Undertaker.
Well, he's their father.
Yeah, but their mother clearly had no powers. Their mothers, as I recall. I forget. I don't want to get the name. Anyway, Orton put him in the freezer. Kane said, fuck, I don't care.
But later he did care.
Well, kind of.
So that kind of killed Extreme Rules. It's a sympathetic... Well, I guess he did put him back in.
He was jealous that Randy was the one to torture him.
I see. Wow. Well, yeah. That put some heat on this battle.
The main event program on Raw is all about legitimacy, and here's two guys talking about torturing dads and hokey dialogue about waking up from a nightmare. It's just phony, phony, phony.
I still like my idea the best. And that is that you have a hokey segment on every show, and at the end of it, Brock Lesnar comes out and destroys everybody involved.
I totally agree.
I think that that's how they should do it.
There was one somewhere in the past year, there was a bit where a Foley was in the ring trying to recreate This Is Your Life with Cena. And it may have actually been even worse than the original This Is Your Life segment. And then Rock came out, hit Foley with the rock bottom, and left.
Yes.
The same thing needs to happen. So Jericho's walking around backstage. His match has been over for like a good half hour at this point. He is still shirtless. Bumps into Alex Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Riley proceeds to rat out CM Punk.
He's been drinking.
He said CM Punk was drinking. He kicked me out of the locker room. Jericho said, really? Show me. They went to spy on CM Punk through the crack of a door. And what we saw was CM Punk talking on the phone, drinking out of a red Dixie cup with a bottle of liquor in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
This to Jericho was indisputable proof.
Of course, he's a heel.
This to Jericho was, this must be Bigfoot. The exact same logic.
Yeah.
So he looked not even happy. He looked surprised that his plan had actually worked. Chris Jericho's facials, are on this show especially, were so great.
His gimmick is that he is a 10-year-old.
Yes.
He pulls people's strings by deliberately lying, and he just doesn't give up until they actually get pissed off. And then when he thinks he really has something on them, he is overjoyed.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
We had Big Show and Great Khali versus Cody Rhodes and Alberto Del Rio. So Khali can't move anymore. It's plainly clear to everyone. To the point where He had his leg hurt on SmackDown, and that carried into, they were talking about it on this show, and at one point, Josh, I think it was this show, maybe it was on SmackDown, at one point one of the announcers said, Kali can barely walk, and there was a pause, and then Cole says, because of his injury!
Yeah.
So, he can't move. Earlier, I said the good thing about Raw was that matches got time. I was not referring to this match. This match did not need to go as long as it did. So they got the heat on Kali. Show ran wild. They got the heat on Show. Show made his own comeback. Kali hit a chop from the outside, and Show chokeslammed Rhodes and pinned him. Alberto walked away. Left him hanging. So somewhere in here, they announced Big Show would be facing Cody Rhodes at Extreme Rules. This is a direct quote from Michael Cole. Stipulation to be determined.
Yeah, TBD.
That sells no buys. No one's willing to buy a pay-per-view to see what the stipulation is.
Vinny, if they said this was a bandana
they could have said,
on a pole match.
He could have said 100 things that also would have been no buys.
Exactly.
That is true.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. So why say anything? To say they're going to fight.
Well, it's Extreme Rules, so they got to have a stip. Just got to come up with one. Let me, while you're doing this, let me check the SmackDown spoilers and see if, in fact, we do have a stipulation for that particular match. Go on.
We had a great, great segment. I've been doing this report, reading off of Todd Martin's report. People seemed to enjoy it last week when I didn't use my own notes. But I'm going to refer to my own notes here because Eve Torres said the funniest thing in the history of Monday Night Raw. So Eve's hanging out with Teddy and Laurinaitis. Jericho walks in, still no shirt. Says, CM Punk is drinking? You should strip him of the title and give it to me. Laurinaitis says, I don't think I can do that. And Eve interrupted. She said, actually, I've been reading up on WWE policy. And it clearly states that any WWE superstar is prohibited from consuming alcohol within a 12-hour period of a WWE event.
Yep.
I laughed so hard. I laughed and I laughed and I laughed and I went back and forth watching it over and over again. I had to transcribe it. And the more I watched it, the more I realized that as great as it was, once again, Chris Jericho made it even better.
Yeah.
He had, I called it a smirk. That's almost the wrong term. He was almost reluctant. It was like, I'm not happy to say I told you so, but I told you so.
I've done that look a time or two. Personally.
So, Laurinaitis said that he needed proof that Punk had been drinking to avoid legal action. Jericho said, well, there's a million cops around here. We can go through a field sobriety test. And Laurinaitis agreed, and Teddy disapproved of this plan. So, Laurinaitis made him do it and said, JR taught me a valuable lesson. When you have bad news to give someone, make somebody else do it.
I've never been busted for drinking and driving. And I don't really know how the process works, but from reading about a million wrestlers getting busted for drinking and driving, I was always under the impression that when the cops pulled you over for drinking and driving, you had to perform the field sobriety test, and you also blew into the machine to say what your blood alcohol level was, correct?
The one time I was pulled over and accused of this, I did not do that.
Really? What'd they do?
I was, it was about 1:30. I was in college. I was leaving a grocery store. 1:30 in the morning, I should say. And I was pulled over for, honestly, I don't know why. He pulled me over. And he asked what I was doing. So I was going to the grocery store. He said, what were you doing at the store? I said, well, I wanted a bowl of cereal, but I didn't have any milk. So I went to the store to buy some milk to get some cereal. He asked me to step out of the car. He asked me to follow his pen with my eyes. I did this. He saw I was clearly not drunk. He rolled his eyes and told me to go home. That was the extent of the traffic stop. This is what cops do in Bellingham.
Point I'm trying to make is I believe that there's a field sobriety test and you blow into the thing. And I guess that when you blow into the thing, then you get taken to the clink, and then you blow into the thing again, and that's the official one, or something of this nature. But I always thought that you blew into the thing at the scene of the crime as well. Perhaps I'm wrong. Anybody who knows the particulars can email me and set me straight if I'm incorrect. But If that's the case, and they actually had cops here, why didn't the cops just come out with the damn thing and have them blow into it instead of having to do this stupid field sobriety test and waste 20 minutes of my life?
Because it was a three-hour show.
That segment sucked. They tried. They had the right idea, I guess, in terms of comedy, but it sucked because it went on forever.
Yeah.
It went on forever and ever and ever and ever. It didn't even have the punchline that I wanted, which was reciting the alphabet backwards and forgetting three letters, and then three letters ended up being G, T, and S, and then he hits Jericho with his move!
Mm.
Nope. He just counted backwards, wrong, or did the alphabet backwards wrong, and then he walked the line and strutted, and then he beat up Jericho. After, I should add, 15 minutes of stuff. I didn't like this segment. This was a segment where it just felt like this show, they are just dragging these segments out to make 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which, again, begs the question, why did you have a 3-hour show then? It's not like it was the draft show. Once you decide not to do the draft, then make the show 2 hours. Especially when you're coming down back from an 18-city international tour. 18 days. And everybody's ready to die anyway. Don't make these poor people come back and do a 3-hour show. This was just pointless.
So after having jumped ahead an hour, we'll go back in time. Brock Lesnar arrived at the building. Josh tried to ask him some questions. Lesnar threw him into a truck. Josh said he was trying to do his job. This pissed Lesnar off, so he threw him through a fence.
Because there's always fences set up backstage.
Apparently. We had Nikki Bella versus Beth Phoenix in a no-reason lumberjack match for the women's title. They were sure to point out Beth was nearing in on the record for longest women's reign, and then she lost it here. She appeared to roll her ankle. I guess it was a work. The lumberjills were very slow to throw both women back in. I did not go back and check, but it sure seemed to me like they may have thrown in the wrong Bella, which would have been actually a very clever finish, but none of the announcers picked up on it either. So Beth was crying about her ankle. Nikki rolled her up in Pandora, whichever Bella it was. So Nikki Bella, officially the women's champion. The Bellas got new ring gear. I would describe this ring gear as camel terrific. That's the extent of the segment. We had the field sobriety test. Brian gave his feelings on it. I did not hate it as much as you did. Certainly did not like it. It was, as you noted, two guys trying to do their best to kill 3 hours of programming. The highlight was...
It wasn't horrible.
The highlight was when Punk was supposed to reveal he was not drunk and actually could recite the alphabet backwards, and as he began to do it, the audience was helping him, but when they got to... They skipped T and went to S, which means the entire audience was drunk. And then because they did this, it threw Punk off his game and he screwed up too. That was the only part where I actually laughed at.
Yes.
That and when he admitted he was doing the worst moonwalk ever. So, yeah, there you go. We had Mark Henry versus Sheamus.
Here's another thing. I don't want to nitpick the segment because it was bad enough. But if, I shouldn't even say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If this was real, and you're CM Punk, and you're playing a prank. So, you come out there, and you're pretending like you're drunk. And first off, I don't even know what the point of this was. So he get a chance to attack Chris Jericho? He couldn't do that without this elaborate prank? Was it to make a fool of Chris Jericho? Was that the idea here? Anyway, the point of it was, he obviously was not drunk. But he comes out here, and he pretends he's drunk for a while. And then he's told to do some of these field sobriety tests, and he continues the ruse, and he continues the ruse until the cops end up saying, yeah, he's drunk. So now Teddy is telling him to hand over his championship. If this were real, isn't that kind of taking sort of a big risk here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You had the law determine that you are in fact drunk, and the guy told you to hand over your belt. How are you supposed to know that Teddy was going to allow you one more chance without the cops there?
Don't know.
This segment was not well thought out.
No.
It really wasn't.
We had Mark Henry versus Sheamus with Daniel Bryan as the surprise special guest referee. This is a great segment, actually.
This was the exact opposite of the last one.
This was, yes.
And the last one, I'm just sitting there thinking, as soon as punk goes, give me one more chance. My first thought is, no, that's not how this works. You failed. You failed your test, and the cops told you that you're drunk, so you're not the champion anymore. And then in this one, I'm thinking, Daniel Bryan, God damn it. If you don't do a fast count, I'm going to be so angry. And sure as shit, he was a heel referee who just blatantly cheated.
Yes, the gimmick was, first of all, Sheamus has been told that if he hits another referee, he'll be fired. So when Bryan came out in a referee shirt, that means Sheamus could not touch him. So they start wrestling. Almost immediately, Bryan is putting his hands on Sheamus, grabbing him, turning around, putting his finger in his chest, pointing at his own chin, just daring Sheamus to hit him. Sheamus wanted to really bad, but he controlled himself. He turned around. Henry hit one clothesline made to cover. Daniel Bryan countered as fast as he could, and Sheamus was pinned. So Bryan got one over on him. Then it got better, because Bryan, to mock Sheamus, tore off his ref shirt and threw it in his face. But that meant Bryan was no longer referee. That meant he was fair game. So Sheamus attacked him, went after him, beat him up, threw him back in the ring. He kicked Henry in the face for good measure, but this gave Bryan time to recover. He clipped Sheamus's knee. He put him in the yes lock, and Sheamus could not escape. And Bryan squeezed and squeezed, and finally he relented. And this established that not only had Bryan cost Sheamus a victory, not only had he embarrassed him, but he'd also proven that he had a hold Sheamus could not break out of. This segment was awesome.
This segment was great. Daniel Bryan was great. The whole thing was great. The only thing I would have liked better, and actually I shouldn't even complain because the whole thing was awesome, but it would have been great if Daniel Bryan dropped down to do the fast count and Sheamus kicked out at two and Bryan counted three anyway and ran off.
That actually would have been awesome too.
Yeah. If you're going to be a heel ref, you just got to go all the way. None of this holding up your count. I'm not going to get into the heel ref thing. I've been ranting about it for too many years.
The tag team champions lost again. Santino and Zack Ryder beat him. Cobra, pin. There you go. Kane went into the freezer. He brought Paul Bearer out of it. Then he put him back in. That's all that happened here.
Mm-hmm. Comedy.
AEW bumped into Primo and Epico. Said they were the tag team champions, but they had no match at Mania. It had an entrance during a commercial break, and they were made to look like fools. And for some reason, he wanted to represent them. Gave them his card. Brodus Clay and Hornswoggle beat Ziggler and Swagger by DQ. Just did like a minute of comedy spots. Vicky came in and slapped Brodus in the face for the DQ. And the faces all surrounded her, and she tried to dance with them and do comedy. And Hornswoggle bit her in the ass, and the faces all had a party. Hornswoggle's legs are enormous.
His whole body is enormous.
I think he has fatter legs than Brodus.
He's, you know, I remember when Caden did a, I think it was a SmackDown. I think it was Caden. Maybe it wasn't.
No, Caden did a squash for Finley.
Okay, that's what it was.
Because
anyway,
somebody taunted him.
Said the midget just kicked his ass.
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, he's little, and so, you know, the full-size wrestlers don't want to say, you know, don't hit me so hard, little fella.
Right.
But he's actually, like, a really heavy...
Yeah.
He's a big human being. He just got short arms and legs.
Yes.
He kills these poor guys. So, yeah, that's what happened here.
Are we going to talk about SmackDown on the show?
I guess we probably should.
All right, we'll get to that.
I'd forgotten about that show.
It was awfully forgettable.
I, honest to God, don't remember one single solitary thing on SmackDown this week.
Hornswoggle debuted as part of Brodus' tag team partner, and there was a fun main event.
That's what was the main event again?
Six-man.
Oh, that's right. It was completely pointless, though, if I recall correctly.
Oh, it was. It was just really fun.
Right.
I would rather have fun and pointless than stupid and quote-unquote important. So we had the contract signing. Cena didn't show up. Rock said, that's fine, I got a bunch of demands. He wanted use of Vince McMahon's personal jet. He wanted the show to be called Monday Night Raw, starring Brock Lesnar. Some other stupid stuff. Makes all these demands. It's not a very good promo. Losing his place, going back and forth. Finishes up, and Laurinaitis says, all right, that's fine. So Lesnar signs. At this point, Cena finally comes out. He is acting all scared. He is just brought a big, heavy chain wrapped around his fist to defend himself. And he gets in the ring, and Brock just don't give a shit. He does not care about this fool. So he starts making fun of Cena, saying he's the reason Cena's scared, and Cena should be scared, and he's the reason Cena lost Lord Tensai last week. And finally, Cena signed in anger, and he reared back for a punch, and Lesnar just laughed at him and flipped the table over, and he bailed, and the show ended. And that was that.
I actually kind of liked his promo there at the end.
Brock? The part with Cena was good.
I just kind of liked it because it wasn't a great promo, and that was kind of, to me, as odd as this may sound, that was the strength of it. Because Brock is not like a, he's not supposed to be like a pro wrestler. He's not supposed to be like a great promo guy. He's a redneck farmer who happens to be an amateur champion and a UFC champion and a former WWE champion. He doesn't give a shit about pro wrestling. He doesn't give a shit about being a personality. He doesn't give a shit about anything. He's just Brock Lesnar. And he has listed demands, and he stumbled him out, and he's mean-looking, so Laura Nice agreed. And then he intimidated John Cena with merely his size, and that was the end. Great! We need a guy who's different. Even if different means he hasn't cut a very good promo.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that was Raw.
It wasn't like it was a bad promo. It just wasn't like a good promo.
Yeah, it was a pretty
bad
promo.
He had a lot
of
stuff he had to say.
I thought it was a bad promo.
I've seen bad promos, Vinny. This wasn't a bad promo. And I've seen bad wrestling. But let's move on.
Don't know where that came from.
Away from you. Now,
how dare you?
Actually, this is an apropos song, in fact. But 2 minutes, and you sucked for every second of these 2 minutes? Failed. Failed.
Perhaps that is a fair point.
Failed.
That's true.
Failed.
Well, you would know better than I.
Failed.
I have no better explanation.
Failed.
Trending on Twitter.
Fail.
Wade said his injury was a herniated disc in his lower back. That does not sound too bad.
Fail.
If you recall, on the last show, I implied that a herniated disc was not a particularly serious injury.
Kenny Florian's retiring.
I read Kenny Florian's story, and I apologize to Kenny Florian. I apologize to anyone else who's ever had herniated disc problems. I underestimated the severity of this. I am a fool and a nitwit.
Fail.
I guess I really am smarter than everyone.
I don't know about that. There you go.
Yeah.
Fail.
You know, I don't know what on earth reminded me about this, but I happened to catch the other day an episode of is it MMA Live that's on HD Net with Boss? Boss Rutten.
Oh, Inside MMA.
Inside MMA. This episode, the guests included Diamond Dallas Page and Stephen Bonner.
Mm-hmm.
And Page was just there plugging his yoga, and he led them all through a 90-second yoga routine, which Boss was doing, but he was also at the same time making fun of how silly it was.
That's Boss.
Yeah, that's what Boss will do. Then there's also a point they were doing Q&A at the end when they asked Page if UFC had been an option when he got into wrestling, would he have considered it? And he said, I had no background in wrestling.
But they get that question.
I know, it's amazing. But Paige said, I had no background in wrestling. That would not have been an option for me. And Boss said, I think you're the first person to ever answer that question honestly. But the other highlight, the reason I bring this up is there, Stephen Bonner was there, and they asked him a question. He completely ignored it, and he just began to cut a promo, basically. And he said that he wanted to fight Forrest Griffin again. B, he wanted to do a season of Ultimate Fighter where they were the coaches. And C, if he got this match, he would sign a contract where he promised to block no punches, attempt no takedowns, and always move forward.
Really?
Yes.
Hopefully they don't hold him to that.
He said he would put it in the contract.
Oh my God.
So if he blocked a punch, he would be in violation of this contract and could be fired.
Huh.
I enjoyed this.
Hopefully my career never falls to these depths.
I hope everyone's career does. That sounds like an awesome fight.
Oh, Vinny. Get through SmackDown here.
All right. Brian came out. I also remember another thing about this show. Brian came out, basically said he was going to win at Extreme Rules. AJ came out to try to beg him to take her back, and he shunned her, told her no, ran her down, said he wished he'd never met her. He left to the back, and she was left humiliated and distraught in the ring. They went to commercial. When they came back, it was AJ versus Natalya. AJ was still distraught and basically not moving, and Natalya moved in to see if she was okay, and AJ snapped and lit into her and attacked her in the corner. And in real life, apparently she busted Natalya open very badly here. And on TV, it was, you could not tell at all, except for one part where she briefly reached up to check her forehead for blood. And then AJ was pulled off. They did not show any of the blood, and AJ ran to the back.
Which reminds me, this is a good promo, by the way, by Daniel Bryan. Impossible to have much sympathy for AJ, as she's been dumped 84 times, keeps coming back. I just remember the old adage, nothing worse in wrestling than when it looks bad and hurts. That's what this was. Yeah. That's what this was.
Yeah. We had Junico and Camacho versus Brodus Clay. Brodus Clay. This was where Hornswoggle debuted as part of Brodus Clay's act. And it was the usual squash and pin. And all I can say is, if you can't look at two hot chicks dancing with a fat guy and a midget, then if you can't watch that and enjoy yourself, then there's something wrong with you.
I'd do better with just the two hot women dancing, personally.
Well, I do love Naomi. We had Teddy was walking backstage looking for Oksana when he ran into two random black dudes in their underwear. Just hanging out. They eventually revealed they were Titus O'Neil and Darren Young, a tag team from a television show called NXT, which has never been mentioned on SmackDown, and thus there's no reason for any of the viewers to know what it was. Darren Young has grown out a mini fro and put a pick in his hair, so he no longer looks like a Cena clone. And Laurinaitis came
up. Wow, he looks like a Cena clone with
an afro?
An afro.
So Laurinaitis arrived. He said they were a new team. He had signed them. And then he made Teddy wear a Beefeater's hat and said, just like the Royal Guards, you must stand here and not speak or move for the rest of the evening. Stryker interviewed Orton. Orton said his dad was very tough and he was going to be okay. And he said he'll be fine in time. And then he said he beat up Keenan at Extreme Rules. This sucked. This feud sucks. Usos versus Darren Young and Titus O'Neil. The new guys won with a heart attack, basically. One of the Usos was running wild, and he went for a body press, and I believe it was Titus O'Neil who low-bridged him. And this poor Uso went flying out of the ring and splattered on the floor. It looked so fucking bad. And then the other Uso got clotheslined and pinned. And it made me sad, because Young and O'Neil looked okay here, but the Usos are really good. And the crowd was totally into them, and they're doing jobs because they do not have six-pack abs. That's all there is to it.
That's about it.
We had Big Show versus Alberto De Rio. Yes, I just called him Alberta De Rio.
I didn't want to mention anything there.
Alberta De Rio.
Alberta De Rio.
Yeah.
Sounds like something you'd get at a Mexican restaurant.
Just move on. Okay. What the hell happened to this match?
What was the match? Alberto Del Rio and who?
In Big Show.
I don't remember this match at all.
From Todd's notes, he set up the chokeslam with his spear.
Todd does a SmackDown report?
Whoever did the SmackDown report. I assume Todd writes everything for the front page. Ricardo got on the apron and took the ref's attention, which let Cody Rhodes hit the disaster kick on the other side of the ring. That's right.
That's right.
And then Del Rio pinned him. I thought that when Big Show was the new Intercontinental Champ, that meant the champion would not be doing jobs anymore. Clearly, I am a fool. He has not elevated the belt. The belt has dragged him down to its level. So Cody attacked Show. Show recovered. Cody ran away. Match number 5, it reads here. Ryback versus Skinny Person. I will say.
What's this guy's name again?
I did write it
down.
It
wasn't as good as Benny Kamer.
I did write this down. I also wrote down that they introduced him as 175 pounds, which means he was no more than 150 legit. Danny Lerman.
Danny Lerman. Well, actually, lately, Vince McMahon has been on a real weights kick, so that could be his weight. Mm. Yes.
He did not look 175. Ryback squashed him. Booker said it was like a matchup, like something from the old days. Actually, this is a great squash. Lyman's a fine jobber. Lerman is a fine jobber. I watched the Road Warriors DVD many, many years ago. And what struck me was there's like three squash matches on there from the old Georgia days. And those old Georgia jobbers were short, fat, untanned men who looked like they had borrowed gear and had never been trained.
Good.
Yeah, that's what jobbers should be. Unimposing and devoid of all charisma. So Teddy's backstage in the Royal Guard costume. Not moving, not talking. In walks on Oksana. What's wrong with me tonight? Oksana walks in with
a marble mouth.
Well, besides my usual poor speaking ability. Oksana walks in with a great Antonio Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
Who in his very first segment on SmackDown has already stolen Teddy's girlfriend.
Yes.
They explained that he was a former rugby player who was looking to be a star in WWE. He made fun of Teddy's manhood. Technically, Oksana still identified Teddy as her boyfriend here, but you could tell she was disappointed in him. And they went into Laurinaitis' office. Mm. Then we had the main event.
He didn't have his coffee, did he?
No.
That's disappointing.
Hey, Otunga has stolen that gimmick.
That's right. Otunga has stolen the coffee gimmick.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
I think he'll get over okay.
I still love the name Antonio Cesaro.
That is almost certainly the best name in FCW history.
I know. They had some god-awful names but Antonio Cesaro.
That is a good name.
That's a great name.
That is a great name. Main event was Daniel Bryan, Mark Henry, and Cody Rhodes versus Sheamus, Randy Orton, and The Great Khali. Before the match started, Cody clipped Khali's knee. He treated this like his leg had fallen off. I'm very concerned. Cody was in the ring dancing, celebrating all happy until Big Show came out to take Khali's place. So, counting the entrances and the injury angle, this all went a half hour. They had plenty of time to have a good six-man, and they did. There's a guy on our board named Mookie Ghana, who has compiled tons and tons and tons of wrestling and mixed martial arts statistics over the years. Mm-hmm. I want the numbers on how often, when WWE has a main event six-man tag, how often is it a good match?
Every time except for one that I can recall, and I can't remember which one it was.
I was going to say, it has to be a minimum 90%.
I'd say 99%.
Hey, you may be right.
If they've done 100, I think there was one that wasn't great.
Yeah. So, this is great. Just as you noted, it was pointless, but it was a fun match. And it ended. The babyfaces isolated Mark Henry in the ring. They all hit their finishers on him. And Orton finally hit him with an RKO and pinned him. And Orton, Show, and Sheamus all celebrated together. All was right with the world. This was a fun thing to match to cap off a forgettable show.
It was a very forgettable show. I'm not going to lie. I swear to God, I watched the entire show Friday night. I forgot everything on it.
I usually forget it by Friday. Or if I watch it on Friday, I would have forgotten it by the time we'd done this show. I watched this 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten everything.
Yeah. All right, let's see if we've got another song, and then we'll talk some old school wrestling. Let's see here what we've got. Somebody had a classic song, but I can't find it. That's unfortunate. Let's try this. I don't even know what this is. Here we go. Has Vince brainwashed all these guys?
That thing is the cock in the walk!
I'm sick of these promos. The guys that are just so angry at somebody for doing something that's not wrestling.
Yeah.
He's done it all!
That is so Vince McMahon.
Yes, it is.
That is Vince McMahon to a T. Your life should be pro wrestling. It should be pro wrestling when you wake up. It should be pro wrestling when you eat your breakfast. It should be pro wrestling when you eat your lunch. It should be pro wrestling in the airports, obviously. It should be pro wrestling on the airplane, which we've seen many times. It should be pro wrestling in the arenas. It should be pro wrestling afterwards at the hotel. And it should be pro wrestling when you go to bed. And then you start over again the next day. The idea that you would want to have anything in your life that's not pro wrestling is such an appalling thing to Vince McMahon. That's why so many careers have gone awry, have gone off the rails. That's why guys aren't with the company right now, because they want to do something that wasn't wrestling. Vince cannot handle this. So now it has to be a storyline every week. How dare you go write a book? How dare you write a book? How dare you do Dancing with the Stars? Wow! How dare you go out there and bring the WWE brand into the mainstream by being a WWE superstar on Dancing with the Stars? How dare you? Now I have to hear it. It's one thing when you have to hear it with John Cena and The Rock. Now I got to hear it with John Cena and The Rock and with CM Punk and Chris Jericho.
I'm going to WrestleMania!
So hopefully I never have to hear it again. Have hobbies, everybody. It's healthy.
And he's telling the whole world that I might wake up in a sweat. My clothes in a pile on the floor. All my baby dolls in a frenzy. Because he's going to take this from me.
And I'll say it again. I'm going to WrestleMania.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap it up for today. I'll be back tomorrow.
Adios.
Do you know what that background song was?
I do not.
That was Vince McMahon's theme. No Chance in Hell.
Really?
From the WWF Aggression CD.
Huh.
Yeah. Think about that. All right, let's get going.
Championship Wrestling from May 3rd, 1977, which I just did the math, that's almost 35 years ago. The very first thing they showed was Gorilla Monsoon giving Muhammad Ali an airplane spin. They also had clips of Baron Von Raschke, Andre the Giant, and Bob Backlund. This was all Worldwide Wrestling Federation action. They explained that Billy Graham had recently won the championship from Bruno Sammartino, and I believe they said it was in Baltimore. They said they were going to show clips of that match or highlights. What we got was 2 minutes of action.
Which he said was a grueling portion of the match.
Yeah.
It was like the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, Billy Graham shoved Bruno back and forth. Bruno shoved him back. He did some arm drags and arm ringers, and that's all they showed. You know, it's funny. Billy Graham was a very, very, very large, muscular man. But when he shoved Bruno back, I thought, that's phony.
Yeah.
But the crowd bought it, and he did out-muscle him at the end, so whatever. The ring announcer for this show here 35 years ago was Gary Michael Capetta.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's been around forever. We had Bob Backlund versus Jan Nelson.
Speaking of squash matches.
This was a squash.
Bob Backlund was in full howdy doody mode. The celebration he did afterwards where he leaped high in the air repeatedly.
And said thank you.
And said thank you.
Thank you.
He did a bunch of grappling maneuvers. Including the wackiest escape from a full Nelson I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I've seen this done before. It's the one where you're in the full Nelson and you lift your foot up and you grab your own foot and use it to break the hold.
I had never seen that in my whole life.
Well, usually it's done and the guy, as you do it, the guy with the full Nelson just lets go so it doesn't look quite so ridiculous. This time, Bob's in the full Nelson. He reaches, kicks his foot up, he grabs his own foot, and then he puts his foot down on the mat. But Jan Nelson refused to let go of the full Nelson, so he basically got pulled over almost like a snapmare, and he's hanging there upside down on Bob Backlund's back for a while before finally going to the mat.
Absurd.
Except for that moment. I enjoyed this.
Then the gigantic atomic drop.
That was Backlund's finisher.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of chain wrestling, one weird full Nelson escape. And then Backlund hit the atomic drop.
He lifted him high in the air, yeah. And he dropped the man's ass onto his own knee,
right.
Which rendered him completely incapacitated for the pinfall.
You can't even say incapacitated. Jan Nelson took this atomic drop on his ass, and then he hit the mat, and he he got on like one knee and one hand, and he arched his back in agony, and he raised his hand to the sky and looked at the heavens, perhaps asking the Lord for help. And then he collapsed and Backlund pinned him.
Yep.
I enjoyed this.
It's fine.
We had Johnny Rivera versus Toru Tanaka.
Another squash.
Fred Blassie was there. He called Tanaka, quote, the greatest Japanese wrestler of all time.
I could have sworn at one point Vince McMahon called Fred Blassie Red Bastien.
Stranger things have happened. This is a long and boring squash. Tanaka won with what they call a Japanese sleeper hold, where he actually put him in a sleeper hold, put him to sleep, and then pinned him.
It's actually kind of like the million-dollar dream.
Yeah, I'm sure it was the same hold.
And it's actually a real hold, believe it or not.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Then we had...
the best match ever. Ever!
You could call it that. You had Frank Monroe versus Indian Billy White Wolf.
I gotta Google Frank Monroe right now.
We'll start with Indian Billy White Wolf. There is a man standing in the ring. He's wearing a black singlet and a big, giant headdress. And his name is Billy White Wolf. And they said we needed a nickname for this man. Indian!
Yeah, Indian.
Because Irish Billy White Wolf would have just been silly.
Frank Monroe Wrestling. I wonder if he's... there's another Frank Monroe here. Frank Moose Monroe.
Frank Monroe was...
awesome.
Actually, Moose Monroe, we will have been him. This looks like a guy who would call himself Moose.
Moose Monroe. How about that? Yeah. All right, here's what I got so far. Name. This is from the Internet Wrestling Database. Frank Monroe. Date of birth unknown. Nationality unknown. Place of birth unknown. Gender, male. At least they figure that out. Matches, 3. 0 pay-per-view.
I'll say.
He's listed as having matches with Larry Zbysko, Gorilla Monsoon, and Carlos Rocha. So they're missing one here.
The database is incomplete.
For those of you as part of the Internet Wrestling Database, you can now add that, in fact, Frank Monroe had a match with Billy White Wolf. And I want you to make sure that you mention in match type here, best of all time. I can't even explain this match, Vinny.
Frank Monroe. He kind of looked like a cross between Baron Von Raschke and Charles Manson.
I was going to say you and a corpse.
There was definitely something on the undead side going on here with Frank Monroe. He was slow. He was uncoordinated. He was unclean.
And he was awesome.
So literally everything they did was so bad it was funny.
Yeah. Moose Monroe beat the shit out of him for about a minute. Actually, probably about 3 minutes.
You were giving way too much credit.
Well, he was on offense. He was on offense for about 3 minutes. He was winning on him.
Yes.
For about 3 minutes. He did a bunch of horrible mistimed moves, which resulted in Billy White Wolf bumping all over the place. And then Billy White Wolf just suddenly began doing moves of his own, which caused Moose Monroe to actively oversell. And finally, he got chopped. He took one big bump, and Billy White Wolf straddled his legs, at which point Moose Monroe, instead of protecting his stomach or his face or his genitals, he just put his arms by his sides, which allowed Billy White Wolf to leap high in the air and earthquake splash him. And then he immediately, upon standing up, did a big splash, and Moose Monroe laid there and was pinned.
Yes. As I noted in my notes, White Wolf pins Monroe after hitting him with his ass.
If it were not so late at night, and we didn't have to do this show, I'd watch that match 10 times. I may go down and watch it again right now. This match was hilariously great. This is the kind of thing that made me love wrestling. Hilarity! Rampant hilarity!
So, Frank Monroe, after the pinfall, he moves over to the ropes.
Moves!
He oozes over to the ropes.
Yes!
He clutches his heart. He is gasping for breath as if a car has just fell on him and knocked all the air out of both lungs. And he sits down on the apron and he slides down the steps.
Mm-hmm.
As Vince McMahon on commentary suggested that perhaps his sternum was broken.
Yeah.
So, that was Frank Monroe versus Indian Billy White Wolf, everyone. From there, we move to Don Serrano versus George Steele. As Vince said on commentary, quote, look at the ugly folds of skin.
Yeah. You know what was amazing? Is he had a wacky gimmick, and he was all hairy, and they called him like a subhuman and that sort of thing. And he probably could have just, especially based on the wrestling ability of others on this show, probably could have just coasted on his gimmick. But George Steele was actually a pretty damn good wrestler.
Sure.
He was good in this match.
Yeah. The amazing thing about George Steele is that he, aside from putting on a little weight.
Oh, my God.
He looked exactly the same in 1977 as he did in 1987. What do you have?
There's apparently a match here that involved a tag team, a six-man tag in the 70s. Moose Monroe, Butcher Vachon, and Strong Kobayashi as a team.
Huh.
This I must see. Wow. All right, you may continue.
So, yeah, George Steele won with the Flying Hammerlock.
Oh, my God, this may be a YouTube video. No, it's not. God dang it. All right, go on.
Mike Montero versus Billy Graham.
You know, beginning of the show, we saw some Billy Graham highlights with Bruno Sammartino from the title, the championship title change.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here it is right here. Oh, my God, listen to this match.
You can't hear it, dude.
No, listen to the actual match, you jackass, the participants. Butcher Vachon, Moose Monroe, and Strong Kobayashi against Larry Zbysko, Peter Maivia, and Haystacks Calhoun.
Oh, God.
I'm going to send this
now,
to you.
I must search for this.
I'm going to send this to you right now. We need a
victory here for the Golden
Boy. Yeah, we need to review this on the next show.
Let's review it right now.
I'm going to send you the link. Send you the link. That's like 2 minutes 30 seconds. All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send you the link.
Okay.
I want you to load it up. And we're going to when I say go, we're both going to hit the thing together. And we're going to watch it and do commentary for everybody. So everybody, what did I just do?
You sent me a link.
Oh, did I? Did it work?
It worked.
Oh, good. All right, everybody. So this is on YouTube. It's called Haystacks Calhoun, Peter Maivia, and Larry Zbysko versus Butcher Vachon, Moose Monroe, and Strong. Apparently, they didn't have enough room for the Kobayashi part. So Google it, everybody. YouTube it. And load it up and move the counter to zero. And when I say go, we're all going to hit the play button at the same time. You have it loaded up, Vinny?
I do.
All right, you can turn your volume down because I'm going to turn mine up. You'll be able to hear it.
Right.
All right. On the count of three, hit the play button. One, two, three.
Feel a victory here for the Golden Boy, Arnold Skolden, along with the Superfly, Jimmy Snuka.
The Superfly.
The WWF has had its share of real heavyweights. My friend Gorilla Monsoon wrestled at around the 400-pound mark. King Kong Bundy at 450 pounds. And of course, Andre the Giant at about 480. But none of these very substantial men can measure up to the legendary Haystacks Calhoun.
Well, that's for sure.
Now, a lot of you younger fans have heard of him, but probably have never seen him. So in a quick look back to the mid-70s, here he is. From Morgan's Corner, Arkansas, at an unbelievable 601 pounds, Haystack Calhoun.
He looks about...
Match, he's teamed in a six-man tag team with Larry Zbysko and High Chief Peter Maivia against Butcher Vachon, Strong Kobayashi, and Moose Monroe.
He looks about 450 pounds.
Yeah, I'm seeing him next to Larry Zbysko now. I might go five.
I'd say maybe
just one time. Say
maybe right.
Forearm smashed to
480.
The chest.
Yeah.
Where's Moose Morawski here?
Not six.
Or not Moose Morawski. Wrong Moose. Moose Monroe.
Calhoun now doing his
Calhoun
spin,
is
so to
is
speak.
He's
got is that who is that?
He's violating him from behind. That's the Butcher.
Okay. Now he's violating him from the front.
That's right. Now he's doing a bear hug. Turn the volume down here a little bit so you can hear our commentary
Calhoun
instead.
Calhoun tagging Larry Zbysko now.
Oh, did you see that punch Haystacks Calhoun threw?
Oh, boy.
Larry Zbysko was thankfully tagged
Larry,
in.
Larry Zbysko.
We'll get to Zbysko on this show that we reviewed here before, but
nice bump.
He was way better than everyone. That's Moose Monroe.
That's Moose Monroe.
He must have shaved his head.
I guess so.
Well, that explains a lot because this guy sucks.
Oh my God! Oh, he just got a gut buster.
Peter might be a look at himself. He's dead. He has got.
Oh my God! He just got squashed by he. There, match is over. Oh.
Okay, that was the best finish of all time.
Haystacks Calhoun.
Look at Butcher. You can't believe what's become of him.
Haystacks gave a gigantic big splash to the Moose, and as the referee is counting the pin, Peter Maivia runs up and jumps on the back of Haystacks, followed by Larry Zbysko leaping on the back. And then Larry comes off with a hammer fist to Butcher Vachon, who then proceeds to hang his head in shame.
All right, let's click this link on the right. This is Women's Battle Royal 1960s.
No. That was awesome, by the way. That was awesome. I need more Moose Monroe in my life. All right. Let's get back to this thing.
What the hell were we? Okay. Yeah, Billy Graham. As you noted, we saw highlights of him, if you want to call it that, with Bruno Sammartino earlier. So he comes out here. He has got the belt. He begins to flex. He's all jacked up. And he would have been big in the 1980s. In the 70s, he looked like a space alien. Just no one else looked like this at the time.
He worked like a space alien on a planet with a different gravitational pull.
A space alien where they had not yet invented wrestling.
Or balance.
So he's standing there flexing and... man in with a tight t-shirt tucked into tight jeans comes running over in the front row and just stares at him and nods.
Yeah.
And then a security guard led him away. So then Graham gets in the ring. He's flexing more. The Wizard begins to put baby oil on him. This all took several minutes.
Yeah.
And then it got worse as he began to wrestle.
God bless superstar Billy Graham, but he was a horrible wrestler.
He was a god-awful worker.
He was a really bad wrestler.
I have seen him before, so I knew what we were in for going in.
I saw him at the beginning of the show, and it was nothing like in this match.
The beginning of the show had Bruno Sammartino to throw him around and force him to take bumps.
That's true.
This is all Billy Graham on offense, throwing horrible strikes. I didn't even see the finish. I just heard you say, oh my God, he won with a blown spot.
Yeah, he threw him into the ropes and grabbed him. They both fell down, and then he pinned him. I don't even know what was supposed to happen here.
I don't even care.
All I know is that if I look on YouTube, there's Tito Santana and Ivan Putski against Pete Doherty and Moose Monroe. There is Moose Monroe versus Bob Sweetan from the WWC. We've got Pedro Morales versus Moose Monroe and some others as well. So check it out on YouTube, everybody. It's amazing.
We have main event. Stan Stasiak and Baron Von Raschke versus Larry Zbysko and Tony Garea. First of all, I want to get this out of the way. The heels finishers in this match were the heart punch and the brain claw.
Yep.
This, by default, makes them the best tag team of all time. Tony Garea was around WWE forever. I think he's still an agent now, or he was for a long time. Yeah, I believe... Back when I paid attention to this kind of thing, he had like a half dozen tag team championship reigns in the 70s.
He was not very good.
He was no good. And I assume you're all familiar with Stan Stasiak and Baron Von Raschke. They're not much either. Which brings us to Larry Zbysko. Most famous for being for turning on Bruno Sammartino and having a feud there and just being a bad guy for the next decade and a half. This is before that point. He was still a young, fiery babyface. And I gotta say... Larry Zbysko was a hell of a babyface.
He moved like a young Roddy Piper.
And was almost as manic.
Yeah, looked like it, too.
A lot of energy, a lot of emotion. Yeah, I liked babyface Larry Zbysko here.
Did a good job.
So they had a tag match. It was a 1970s tag match. It was fine for what it was. And they're doing a four-way spot, and the heels whip the faces together, and the faces do-si-do and hit a couple of punches. And the ref calls for the bell. You think, well, he's lost control. This is disqualification. He's throwing it out. No, the match has gone to curfew.
Curfew. Yeah.
Not a time limit draw. Curfew.
Curfew.
Show's over.
That was a pretty good tag team match. I mean, Zbysko didn't have much to work with, quite frankly.
No, he did not.
But all the hot tags were set up well, and the people went nuts for all of them. So, it was good stuff. I enjoyed it. So there you go, everybody. Championship Wrestling. It's on WWE Classics On Demand now. Maybe there'll be a new show next week with more Moose Monroe.
We can only hope.
I sure hope so. I do know that there's one more here. Yeah, here you go. Maybe next week we'll watch this one. It's a little longer here. Peter Maivia and Chief J Strongbow versus Baron Mikel Scicluna and Frank the Moose Monroe. There you go. That looks like a hell of a battle. So anyway, everybody, it's about it from here. We're going to wrap it up. Going full circle, if you want to hear more about Alistair Overeem, check out the front page. We'll have a brand new Figure 4 up tomorrow, brand new Observer up tomorrow, back issue of the Observer up tomorrow. My God, we've got a lot of stuff coming up tomorrow. So check it out, everybody. New shows all week long, as well as Friday night. Dave and I are going to be back. He'll be talking all of the television, Bellator, SmackDown, and Ultimate Fighter. I will be talking TNA live event in Kent, Washington. There for a live big show experience. You going, Vinny?
Oh, I am.
That's right. Me, you, Craig, and I don't know who else is going. Cameron, I'm sure. Unfortunately, not the dancer. The infant.
That's true.
The infant.
God bless Cameron, but...
That's right. That's right. He'll be a lot of fun, too, though. So anyway, that's coming up on Friday. So anyway, check everything out on the front page, everybody. A lot of good stuff, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.